Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 and 9 months FY24 conference call of Saxoff Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Purvangi Jain from Valorem Advisors. Thank you and over to you, ma'am.
Good afternoon, everyone, and a warm welcome to you all. My name is Purvangi Jain from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Saxoff Limited. On behalf of the company, I would like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings conference call for the third quarter and 9 month ended of the financial year 2024. Before we begin, let me mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings conference call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risk and uncertainty, which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's belief as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to the management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Let me now introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call and hand it over to them for their opening remarks. We have with us Mr. Aditya Krishna, Chairman and Managing Director, and Mr. Neeraj Kumar Ganeriwal, Chief Operating Officer and CFO. Thank you, and over to you, Aditya, sir.
Thank you, Purvangani. Hello and good afternoon, everyone. Welcome and thank you for joining our quarter three and 9 months ended 31st December 2023 earnings call today. Let me first give you a brief introduction of Saxoff for the sake of some of the participants who may be new to the company. Saxoff is a digital transformation partner that assists its customers to automate, modernize and manage IT systems through a combination of domain-specific technology solutions and solution accelerators from consulting to support. We have been in business for almost two decades now with offices across 16 locations covering USA, Asia-Pacific, UK and Europe. We have an associate strength of 2,000 plus. The key verticals that we operate in are fintech, high-tech, transportation logistics, digital commerce, and health tech. The interconnected nature of the verticals mentioned address a huge market, which also facilitates us to cross-sell and upsell service offerings to our clients. These verticals are supported by horizontal service offerings spanning analytics, cloud solutions, legacy modernization, intelligent automation, application development, and testing. As a company, we offer a comprehensive suite of digital transformation services. Now, moving on to the quarter under review, despite facing headwinds in the U.S. market, I'm pleased to report that we managed to keep our revenues flat on a quarter-on-quarter basis. Our EBITDA margins took a little bit of a hit because we chose to invest more in improving our sales engine. This decision is part of our long-term strategy to reach a revenue target of $500 million by 2030. On the front of sustainability, we are proud to reiterate that ESG remains one of our major objectives at Saxoff. Now, I would request my colleague Neeraj to give you the financial highlights for the quarter under review.
Thank you, Aditya, and thank you everyone for taking the time and joining our earnings call today to discuss the results of the third quarter and 9 months ended of the financial year 2024 under review. For the third quarter of the current financial year, the revenues were reported at around 192.84 crores, representing a growth of around 12.9% year-on-year. The EBITDA stood at INR 33.03 crores, which grew by 20.38% year-on-year, with the EBITDA margins reported at around 17.1%. The net profit for the quarter was INR 22.54 crores, which grew by around 13.5% year-on-year, and the PAT margins at around 11.7%. For the 9 months ended 31st December 2023, the revenues were reported at around INR 566.73 crores. This represents a growth of about 17.2% on a year-on-year basis. The EBITDA for this 9 months was at INR 103.38 crores, which grew by 36.7% year-on-year, and the EBITDA margins were at around 18.2% with a growth of 259 basis points. The net profit stood at INR 72.97 crores, which is a growth of around 28% year-on-year, representing a PAT margin of about 13%. Now coming to the revenue split by geography for the 9 months ended 31st December 2023, the USA contributed to 43% of our revenues. Europe contributed to 23%, while the remaining 34% came from Asia-Pacific and other regions. The mix of on-site and offshore revenues, on-site revenues was at around 45% and offshore at 55%. The revenue split amongst the verticals for these 9 months is as follows. FinTech contributed to about 34%, telecom and utilities to about 20%, transportation and logistics contributed to 12%, public sector 4%, and the balance came from retail and healthcare at around 8%. Coming to some of our customer metrics, Saxoft had around 15 customers of $1 million plus revenue. The total employee count at the end of the quarter stood at 2,102, out of which 1,890 were technical, with the utilization level of employees, excluding trainees, being at 82% for the 9 months ended 31st December 2023. This concludes the update on the quarter, and we can now open the floor for the Q&A session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Vikas Srivastav from RBC Financial. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, thank you. Good morning. A few related questions. First question was, why was this quarter tough? Was it seasonal? Was it an aberration? Are we seeing something different from what we were seeing earlier? That's my first question. And how are things looking for the next few quarters? And of course, long-term, your 2030 goal, I hear, remains intact. But short to medium term, how are things looking?
Hi, Vikas. Okay. Quarter was tough for two reasons. One, there are headwinds in the U.S. market, our biggest market. Now, you can't fight these headwinds, and, you know, you have to survive. So it was tough from that perspective. Now, the other thing that, you know, we've been talking about in the last few calls is that to grow organically, we have to strengthen our sales front end. And for that, I have been saying repeatedly that every quarter we will try and add a senior sales guy to our team. And whether it's a bad, I mean, whether it's a struggling quarter, average quarter, good quarter, we have to keep doing that. Otherwise, the 500 million target of 2030 is not going to be achievable. So we did that, and that's expensive. You know, there's a recruitment cost, then there's a cost of the new hire, etc. So, you know, that hit our EBITDA margins. And this was compounded by the fact that revenue in that quarter did not grow as much as we would have expected it to because of the headwind. So it was a double whammy. Now, how does quarter four look? How does the next year look? I would say it's definitely going to be better than quarter three. Headwinds are still there. You know, we are trying very hard to make sure that we mitigate as much risk as we can. But, you know, these are the challenges of a small cap. You know, that's the risk-reward, you know, scenario. There will be ups and downs, for sure. I don't think this quarter is a sign of bad times ahead. You know, that is definitely not visible. It's probably a little bit of a reality check for us. We've had some really good quarters. I think it's a wake-up call for us to work harder and, you know, move the company forward on a stronger footing.
No, got that. Thank you. I was more interested. So, you know, Aditya, when we spoke the last few quarters, the headwinds were always there. There can be, in a small company, there can be short-term aberration. What I was looking for is that overall, we knew there were headwinds in the U.S. Overall, there can be setbacks, you know, a quarter here or a quarter there. But your confidence, your medium to long-term view on growth, profitability, etc., in your view, remains intact. That's one follow-up question. And in terms of the new sales engine which you are adding, and with additional cost, which is, in my view, an investment, are we going to see some more results in terms of higher number of high-ticket clients? Of, you know, I heard that you're probably 15 clients above $1 million. Do you expect that to happen? Do you expect these sales engines to, which you're investing in, to start kicking in? And, you know, in terms of doing 500 million by 2030 in a rough back of the envelope calculation, you're looking at 20 to 25% year-on-year growth, right? Do you think in the short, when I say short, I'm not talking about quarterly, but on an annualized to medium basis, we are still aiming and target, and we haven't lost sight of that target.
Absolutely, because you know, there is no silver bullet. I mean, there is no silver bullet which, you know, so we can't really say, okay, a sales guy joins this quarter, he's going to hit a home run and we're going to get $1 million client next quarter. You know, it doesn't work like that. You know, it is a long haul objective. We have to invest. We have to stay the course. We have to be patient. We have to put the right performance metrics for the sales team in place to perform and grow the business. And that is what my job is and my team's job is, and we are focusing on that. So in terms of future, nothing has changed. It's just a little bit of a rocky quarter. The target of, you know, 500 million by 2030 is definitely on the cards. It means aggressive growth, you know, but then, you know, growth, you know, as much as anybody else, Vikas, that expense or cost always comes before revenue. So, you know, that is the challenge of a listed entity. You know, we have to balance this investment vis-a-vis the quarterly results, you know, and that's a very careful balance that we have to always play. So to answer your question, there is this quarter, first of all, it's a flat quarter. Profits are down because of the investment in sales. What will quarter four look like? Definitely it will be better. What will next year look like? Clearly, in line with 500 million by 2030. As of now, nothing changes, you know, but we will see one or two quarters here and there, you know, and shareholders have to be patient. They have to believe, because, you know, what goes up comes down, because you know that.
So, Aditya, you know, I'm very comfortable with that. I just wanted to, in fact, to add to what you said, you know, while we are listed, while we are short term, there may be pressures from shareholders or the markets because of quarterly results. But in terms of investment, while the Indian accounting standards don't allow, but as I said, if you're putting money into sales engine, that's an investment really. It's a deferred revenue expenditure in Indian accounting and US accounting. You have to write it off, which is perfectly all right. It's your plant and machinery as far as I'm concerned in terms of generating sales. So short term, you know, as an investor doesn't bother me at all, as long as what you're saying and what I'm hearing is in my view, very comforting. I can only speak for myself. Thank you very much. I've taken time. I'll come back in the queue if I have any further questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Vikas, for your support and understanding. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants, if you wish to join the question queue, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Harik Soni, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, team. Just had a couple of questions when it comes to your acquisitions in the past. Firstly, I would like to understand the operational performance of those. So are your acquisitions profitable now?
Yes, all the companies that we acquired were profitable when we acquired them, and they remain profitable.
And what kind of organic growth percentage would we be expecting going ahead?
We have to grow 25% year on year. Now, 25% on 800 crores is 200 crores. You know, we can't afford an inorganic growth of 200 crores because we don't have that sort of money. So at best, you're looking at, 50 crores of inorganic and 150, and I'm giving you ballpark, 150 crores of organic. So give or take 10%. So 150 is what you're looking at from a inorganic and organic perspective. So that, ties in with the earlier question and my response about investment in the sales engine. Now, to grow organically, you have to have a larger sales team. Larger sales team means you have to put money before the revenue comes in. The cost of recruitment is high. Headhunters charge 33% of the first year compensation. All that hits the quarterly numbers. So, maybe I'm preempting a question from you, but please keep that in mind, as we look at quarterly numbers.
Okay, and what would be the expected, say, increase in the, what has the experience in the increase in employee costs in the past year? Since you said that we'll be looking at hiring to expand the sales team, as well as that's how that would benefit our expansion into the overall business.
So the technical average cost is different from the sales average cost. I don't have the numbers offhand, but I can send them to you. So from a technical average cost, average employee cost, I would say last year we would have increased by maybe 10 to 15%. But the sales cost would have gone up by, I would say, on average sales cost would have gone up by 30% of per employee. But I'll give you the numbers.
And do we think that this will be sustainable in the future?
Say that again.
Do we expect that increase in cost to be sustained by us, by our numbers in the future, at least for the coming few quarters?
This is going to happen because, like I said, we have to keep adding to the sales front end. So averages will not go up by that much, but there will be an increase in sales costs every quarter, for the next at least 6 to 8 quarters, as we add more people. Now, as far as technical average cost of sales, average cost is concerned, I think next year should not be such a big increase in average cost because attrition levels have come down considerably. So, hopefully next year expectations from the market will be less.
All right. Thanks, Aditya. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. We take the next question from the line of Parth, an individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, team. So my question was more on the macroeconomic side of things. So we'll be seeing some interest cuts also coming in the West in the next year. So how do we see that panning out in our revenues and margins as such?
Could you repeat that question? When you say macroeconomic, what indicator are you referring to?
I'm talking about the interest rate cuts that we are anticipating in the next year. So how do you see that affecting us as a company?
Well, you know, two things on that. One is we have very limited debt on our books. So, I mean, from an interest expense perspective, I don't think it's going to have a significant impact on us. But from an economy perspective, if the prime comes down in the U.S., which is the largest market, definitely growth will accelerate off some of our customers as well as prospects, which will mean more discretionary spending on the IT side, which will help us. So if that happens, if prime comes down, interest rates come down, you know, over a period of time, it should help us from a demand perspective.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We take the next question from the line of Vikash Vastava from RBC Financial. Please go ahead, sir.
Aditya, if I heard right, you know, you obviously have had some big ticket acquisition on sales. Are we going to be hiring at that level through the next 3-4 quarters, or is it going to be intermittent? Maybe, for example, in the next 5 quarters, 2 more senior sales guys. That was one question. And the second question was, how's your M&A pipeline looking? As you mentioned that, you know, we are both organic and inorganic. And I know you can't disclose anything specific, but what are we looking in terms of M&A, in terms of what size of companies are you looking at? And I won't even ask you what areas, but how much can we absorb and what kind of time span are we talking about before our next M&A? Just, I know you can't say anything for sure till it's done, but how's it looking in terms of, if you had things your way, how would it go in the coming, say, 5 quarters?
If I had a crystal ball with us, next 5 quarters, I would really like to do 2 inorganics of 50 crores top line each. And add 1 sales person every quarter. So 5 new sales guys, 2 acquisitions of 50 crores each, totaling to 100 crores over the next 5 quarters. Now, in which area? We're going to take a bet on product engineering, you know, digital engineering. We have seen a lot of success of companies like Persistent, Global Logic, Cyient. So we are, and we have a lot of capability in-house on that. But I think to get to 500 million, we need to put a stake in the ground. And I think the stake in the ground for us is going to be product engineering. So the companies that we're going to look to acquire are going to be in that space, which are going to help us from a capability as well as customer base. Now, given that they are 50 crore companies, you know, you're not going to get too many, you're not going to get any sales engine. You're only going to get capability and maybe a few, you know, strong marquee customers. So that's the hope. But, you know, hope is not strategy. So very clearly the focus is, which we can control, is adding salespeople to the front, to the team, you know, good, competent guys who will stay with the company, not churn, number one. Number two, you know, keep the M&A pipeline and do at least, you know, every year do at least 1 or 2 50 crore deals.
Got it. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Vikas.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Amit Jain from Monarch Networth Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, Amit.
Hello, Vic. Aditya, how are you?
Good.
So, Aditya, just a follow-up question on what you just replied to Vikas. About the strategic point of view, the areas that we are targeting for future growth. My second question is about the verticals where you're seeing more pain. So you can just reply to that.
Amit, like I mentioned to Vikas, we're going to take a bet on product engineering. So from a strategic capability building and focus perspective, that's going to be our pitch and that's going to be our play. Now, which business vertical or industry vertical in that, it will be what we are currently good at, which is fintech, high tech, and transportation logistics. So I don't think it makes sense to spread ourselves too thin. I think it's important to be very, very competent in a narrow area, because it's for a company of our size to be profitable and to keep growing and to have sustainable momentum, we need to operate in market niches. So what's our niche? Our niche has to be industry verticals, and within that industry vertical, it has to be product engineering as an example. So we'll stick to that. So it's sticking to our inch wide, mile deep strategy.
And Aditya, in terms of, you mentioned about product engineering, is it possible if we can do some breakup currently how much we are deriving of revenue from that part, or is it still a work in progress?
Currently, from product engineering, we would be, how much is application engineering?
Almost 50%.
So almost 50% of our revenues today are coming from application engineering. Now, a subset of that is product engineering. You know, I would say at least 80%. So 40% of our revenues are coming already from product engineering. So we need to build on that.
And when you say, Aditya, just from the positioning point of view, because if we just bifurcate the IT industry, so we have on one hand the large entities like which are majorly driving their revenue from application services. And when I see a company like Persistent, maybe they have some product or other companies, so it is a more sticky business, which I am, please correct me if I'm wrong. So that is where we are trying to get more stickiness from our customers, to have more products, so that stickiness remains.
Amit, the question, it's not clear what you're saying. Can you repeat it slowly, please?
Okay. No, Aditya, I'm just asking from the perspective of the positioning ourselves. What I'm asking is about when you say a product company, product engineering. So my understanding is that if you have a product, then there is a more stickiness. So client is more remains with you.
It's when I say product engineering, it's not a product company, not a company. We are a product engineering company. So we will build products for our customers.
Okay, understood.
Like the Global Logics, like the Persistence, like the Science.
Understood. And I think there's one thing in terms of your employee headcounts. I see that utilization going on a 9-month basis. So it's more to do with the demand slowdown or something we are adding more employees to? Just a quick take on this.
Quarter three has a number of holidays, as well as some of our customers utilize something called furloughs, where they will not utilize the teams for sometimes 10 days, sometimes 15 days. So that has hit the utilization. You will see that back on track in quarter four.
Understood. Okay. Thanks, Aditya.
Thanks, Amit.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Jyoti Singh from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead, ma'am. Ms. Jyoti, your line is in the talk mode. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity.
Sir, my question is on the acquisition side that we are looking to do it like a 50 crore each for the two acquisition. So what are criteria, what kind of criteria we are looking for that those company?
Number one, profitable companies, EBITDA of 20% plus. Second, focused predominantly on the U.S. geography. Third, strong capability in product engineering. And lastly, founders who align with the way we think and will stay with the business for at least the next 3 years.
Okay. And so for this two acquisition, I mean, what, like, if you can comment on the order book side that we have currently for this particular segment, like we are looking for the product engineering side.
Current order book for product engineering would be in the region of, let me tell you, 400 crores.
Okay, thank you so much.
Ms. Jyoti, does that answer your question?
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants, if you wish to join the question queue, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We take the next question from the line of Shruti Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is from the side of the sectors which we cater to. So currently I can see that fintech is a major revenue contributor. So how is the profitability from fintech sector? And going forward, which other sectors we may have increase in our revenue and how would be the profitability from that sector?
Dheeraj, can you take that?
Sure. The fintech sector is actually the most profitable for us. It's also our largest vertical. And from a profitability perspective, compared to the other verticals, it's profitable. The second largest vertical which we are having is on the transportation and logistics, which is equally picking up, and we have very good referenceability in the sector in the U.S. market. We are also aggressively moving in this vertical in the UK market too. And the margins are catching up in this vertical too. So I think fintech and transportation and logistics, these are the two verticals which are contributing significantly, and the margins between them, the fintech is a better contributor.
Can you quantify the margins?
I will not have that readily in the split up, but we will be able to share that subsequently.
Okay, sure. Another question was on the geographical presence wise. So I just wanted to have an idea how much was the revenue from India, and going forward, how, what are our prospects on to the India revenue front? Like going forward, how do we planning to have further revenue presence in India, or reducing, or strategy for that?
It was there in our investor presentation. The U.S. is 43%, Europe is 34%, and Asia-Pacific is...
Europe is 23%, the Asia-Pacific is 34%.
Asia-Pacific is 34%. The reason why Asia-Pacific is going up is because some of our U.S. customers are building global capability centers in India, and we are following the customer and providing services in their GCC in India. So over the coming years, you will see an increase in Asia-Pacific because of that. In effect, it's the same U.S. customer but being serviced out of India.
Okay, and how is it profitability-wise in of the U.S., Europe and APAC region, which is the highest profitability region for us?
The highest is the U.S., followed by Asia-Pacific and then Europe.
had an operational highlight, so it was mentioned. Sorry if it may be addressed, I have joined late, but it's mentioned that EBITDA margins have majorly declined due to we have made investment into sales engine of $500 million to have our target revenues of $500 million by 2025. So I just wanted to have idea that when can we see our EBITDA margins coming on to the previous levels or even have on a better position going forward?
EBITDA margins took a hit in quarter three because of the investment in sales and also because of the, you know, the furloughs and the reduced billing days, which typically quarter three has. Quarter four should see better EBITDA margins.
Okay, so can we expect from the range of something 18% to 20% or so?
I wish. I don't think we ever got to 18-20, but yes, 18% would be aspirational, yes.
Okay. Thank you so much for answering the questions.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Abhishek Sharma, an individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello.
Yes, sir, please.
Yeah, go ahead.
My question is, what new business strategies have been made over the last few years to accelerate the growth?
Repeat the question.
What are the new business strategies that have been made over the last few years to accelerate the growth? And on what ground is the SexOps projecting $100 million revenue growth by the end of this fiscal year? I would like to know what are the growth strategies being followed.
Over the last 2 years, Abhishek, no real change has been made in strategy because to implement strategy, you can't keep making changes. You know, you have to put a stake in the ground and implement it and follow it through. So our strategy has always been over the last 3 to 4 years. You know, when we embarked on this growth objective of 100 million by this year, it has always been to work in market niches and protect our business in these market niches. And what are those niches? The niches are the industry verticals of fintech, transportation logistics, high tech, and health tech. So we are continuing to do that, you know, and in those industry verticals, we provide horizontal service offerings of data and analytics, testing, digital engineering, and infrastructure. So no real change in this approach over the last 3 years, and the growth that you've seen over the last 3 years is a result of this strategy.
Okay, thank you. Thank you and congratulations for the results. And thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for the day. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management from SexOps Limited for closing comments.
We thank everyone for taking our time to participate in this call and for your interest in SexOps. I hope we've been able to answer your queries. In case of any other queries, please reach out to us or to our investor relations advisors, Valorem Advisors. Thank you everyone for joining us.
Thank you. On behalf of SexOps Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your line.